And we are live, and it feels good to be back for real after being gone for almost 2 weeks, which was never the plan, right? It was supposed to be leave out on a Wednesday, be back on a Monday, and it turned into a much longer expedition than we had planned, though I did have a blast out in Vegas in more ways than one, but it's good to be back. And it's also good to be leading off a brand new month. Tick tock, tick tock. The clock ticks for us all. We've entered February, which means one third of the first quarter is gone, moving us into a February of fours. We have four of all the days in February this time. I think it happens like once every 800 and something years or something like that. Not that it matters, but it's fun to notice things like that. What are we going to notice today? Well, we're going to notice that stupidity is everywhere. If you saw the title of today's episode when you came into the live, the power of stupid on display. In the thumbnail graphic today, we're not really talking much about the people in the thumbnail graphic today. It just seemed like the right graphic for today's episode. It's the United States Congress depicted as a whole bunch of clowns with no real line in between the parties at all, either by design. I along with AI, designed that image a long time ago for a different show, but it fits today because there is a lot of stupid on display today. And we're going to be talking about a ton of it. I promised that I would talk about the Alex Priddy shooting once I got more information. Got about as much information as I think I'm going to get anytime soon. I've got an opinion. It'll probably piss everybody off. Too bad. My opinions are not formed for the purpose of making you happy or sad. They are not formed to appease you or to piss you off. They are formed because I take logic and reason and put it together and do the best I can with the information that I have. And like I said, this one will probably piss everybody off. And sorry, I guess, but I'm not sorry because you tune in for the truth as I see it based on my opinion. And my opinion also will not set any policy. So I don't know why some people get so wound up in the ass about it. Then I'm also going to talk about the Orange Man, Cash Patel, Pam Bondi, and some other people like DHS Barbie saying some shit about the Second Amendment that really pisses me off. That also will have no impact on policy whatsoever, but most of you will probably at least agree on that. And we'll talk a little bit about special libertarians that continue to claim that actually deporting all of these people is going to bring in the New World Order and a mass surveillance state, but no way of explaining how that works. People have said I've changed in my views. I'm going to make a case for you that I haven't changed shit about my views of things like illegal immigration since I started this show all the way back in 2008. Since I was here for all of it, and some of y'all that tell me how much I've changed weren't. Maybe I'm the one we should listen to. I don't know. Virginia voted Democrat and instantly gets 50 new taxes and tax increases. They're outraged by it. Yeah. The Democrat Party in Virginia ran on affordability. That's the big catchphrase because, of course, nothing's affordable today. So they'll just say we're for affordability, but then like, well, we're going to tax you on everything that exists. We're going to have an existence tax in Virginia now. Not quite, but damn close. And then I'm going to give you like seven reasons the left is completely miserable right now. And this makes me happy. All seven of them make me happy, by the way. And then we're going to talk about who the future belongs to today. What are the characteristics of the people who own the future right now? Specifically, if you're younger than me, because, I mean, there's only so much of the future left for people like me. We're old now. We're all gray and shit, right? But, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about Gen Z today in a good way, especially Gen Z males. What does the future look like for the Gen Z males that are willing to own the future? In spite of what's going on, what does this fourth turning look like? Because that's where we are today. We're in a fourth turning. I know some of you don't believe that because you've been waiting for World War III or whatever you thought it was going to be. But what if I told you you're sitting in the middle of a world war right now and you just don't recognize it and it might get worse or better and we don't really know? We'll talk about all of that today and more. Before we do, let's go ahead and hear from our sponsors of the day. Sponsor of the day number one today is JM Bullion. Now, everybody wanted to buy silver when it was $110 an ounce, and now it's like 70, and I'm not buying it now. It's the same shit over and over in every great asset class, right? Everybody ignores it when it's cheap. Everybody ignores it when it's mid-priced. It goes up super high. Everybody buys in. it drops back to something that makes a lot more sense. Nobody wants to buy it. Same with gold. Same with Bitcoin. Yeah, over and over and over again. Though the gold bugs and silver bugs did get a little wake-up call to how markets work with volatility quite recently. It's still a great place to invest some of your money, and I recommend you check out JM Bullion for that, where you'll get the best pricing available from anybody online for the same silver or gold, which is the entire point. All your orders will ship free. I can talk directly to the president, and they even do a discount for larger purchases from members of the Member Support Brigade. Next up today is K9 Academy. That's Joel Riles. You can find them at k9academy.us, where you can learn to discover your dog's superpower and train yourself to train your dog. You can even take a really cool free course that is called the Problem Solving Library. You can take that for free, get a feeling of whether or not K9 Academy is for you. If it is, you can sign up for the other courses. If not, hey, it didn't cost you anything, and you probably learned something. Check it out today at k9academy.us. With that, let's I want to say get into it, but let's hold up just a second. I want to just remind you guys about something that I didn't get to give you guys a good reminder of leading up to it on my way out of here. And then I wanted to give you some reminders as it was coming up when I got back, but I didn't get back till Thursday last week. And that, of course, is Nicole Sauce's LFTN Spring Workshop, which is the dates are April 23 to 25. I spoke to Nicole this morning. She has 8 tickets of 50 still remaining after they went on sale on Saturday. If you want to get one, please go over to thesurvivalpodcast.com and scroll down. You'll see. Well, actually, no. I'm going to give you the link right now because it's not on the blog because of how that all worked out. But it will be in today's show notes as well. But if you just go to Living Free in Tennessee and click on events, you can definitely find where to sign up. There's going to be some really cool people at this event. I'm going to be talking about some stuff you guys have never heard about before and even giving a look into something coming for me in the future. Additionally, Alan Booker's going to be there. Sandor Katz, who is the man when it comes to natural fermentation. Of course, Nicole Sauce, Kerry Brown, John Pugliano. Lots of other really great folks. Come check it out at the LFTN workshop. I'd love to see some of you guys there. Some of you, you just can't get down here to Texas during November, which is when we always do our fall workshop. So this would be, you know, you still get to come hang out with me and some other really cool people. And honestly, a lot of the same people because there's a lot of overlap there. All right, with that, let's go ahead and dig on into this. I want to start off with my analysis of the Alex Preddy shooting. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's probably going to not make anybody happy. There's going to be some of you that are going to be really mad all the way through, and some of you are going to be really happy all the way through until I get to the very end with my final conclusion. What I find really interesting, though, is when this all went down, I was in Las Vegas. I could only see little snippets and pieces coming in, and I was honestly more interested in spending time with my family and my wife and doing fun things than watching the news. Of course, some of you seem to think like I owe it to you, even when I'm on vacation, to be glued to the screen nonstop so that I can find an opinion that matches yours. Sorry, that's not how it works. But I really didn't know. So I came out and I said as much. I said, look, I don't know exactly what went down here. I haven't seen enough yet, but I'm not going to jump to either side on this. But I will tell you that I think taking a gun to a protest is not the smartest thing in the world to do. But once you've done that, engaging physically in an altercation by your own choice with law enforcement while you're armed, that's really stupid and can lead to things like getting shot. I'm not saying it should. I'm saying it could. Well, then I was told I was a bootlicker and all kinds of bad words and names and shit that just bored me, honestly, because a person who attacks someone for saying, I'm not sure yet, guys. I'm way out here. I'm like watching rock concerts and hanging out and going to magician shows and stuff. And I'm not really in the game right now. So hold on until I can get a look at it. And then, of course, when you're attacked by either side at that point, well, the people that do the attacking, well, they look really stupid. That tells me all I need to know. Those are not serious people, and I don't care. So now let me be attacked for my actual opinion rather than my absence of one due to an absence of knowledge, right? like being a responsible adult. So first of all, Preddy was not some really super great, wonderful dude that was, you know, God's answer to bad things or something, who was just trying to defend a woman who was being attacked for no reason at all. That's all bullshit. The guy was an agitator. He was in at least one other major altercation with law enforcement. And based on the pattern of behavior of those two instances that we have video of both, probably a lot more. That doesn't mean he should be shot. That's what it is. Like, this whole characterization of some guy who was just, he was just there because he cared. And he saw this poor woman being attacked. So he wanted to try to help her up. Like, that's just bullshit. Right. This is a guy that kicked the taillights out of an ICE vehicle that was leaving. All right. Yeah, I'm just saying. Next, taking a gun to a protest is not a great idea. It's not. In most instances, as long as what you're doing with a gun would be legal in the state and city that you're in, it is legal. I fully support your right to do it. But there's a lot of things I support your right to do that are not necessarily the smartest things to do. What about Kyle Rittenhouse? This isn't about Kyle Rittenhouse. I'm not even going to get into it because Kyle Rittenhouse didn't get into a fight with law enforcement. So Kyle Rittenhouse was there to defend property, right? He was there to defend people. Yeah, and how'd that work out? It also almost didn't work out for Rittenhouse, by the way, in a variety of ways that I won't get into today. Okay? When you're armed, this is something that most of these people running their mouths right now about gun rights. Okay, first of all, if your general position on gun rights is there shouldn't be any, and we should ban all the guns, and they should all be taken away, and they should all be seized, and at least the assault weapons and all that other shit, your fucking opinion right now on this means nothing to me, right? It's the same as these fucking idiots that are talking about the Epstein files and Trump's a pedo all of a sudden and whatever. And they're the same motherfuckers that invented the term MAPS for minor attractive person because you didn't want to offend pedophiles. Shut the fuck up. You don't get to talk. Your opinion is completely invalid. So I'm back. I don't know what the hell that was. Anyway, what I was saying is you don't get to go around and act like the people that do this to Christians all the time, where like you're an atheist, Christians are stupid, whatever. But then whenever it fits, you'll wear the Bible like a skin. I put all those people in the same category. You hate guns. You hate gun rights. But now he had his constitutional right to shut the fuck up. You don't get to do that. I don't know if it has anything to do with YouTube, by the way, people out there that are saying that. I think it has to do with StreamYard because of some things that happened on my end that tell me that's the case, right? So anyway, like I don't have any sympathy for anybody in that world that wants to start talking shit now about a thing that they've always hated and all of a sudden they like it now because it benefits them. Shut up. And I do that to the right too. You don't get to do this whole, I'm going to flip it around and pretend I'm an advocate for this now because it benefits me. But when you are armed, you are held, and again, you don't know this if you don't know anything about being armed, especially if you've never taken any courses on it, especially like concealed carry courses and things like that. You're held to a higher standard of conduct. You have a higher standard of conduct when you are armed. That's just plain and simple. In fact, in states like Texas, when you go take the course you have to get a concealed carry permit, they tell you now that you took the course in of itself, you're held to a higher standard because it is expected that you know these things. And one of those higher standards of conduct is not getting into physical contact when it's of conflict, when it's avoidable. That's one of those standards. And that doesn't just apply to law enforcement. In other words, if I have a gun on me and I go out and start a physical altercation with somebody and it escalates and then I feel the need to defend myself and shoot that person while they're on top of me beating the shit out of me, when I instigated the conflict, I'm the one that knew I was armed. That is a pretty basic legal principle there. That doesn't mean that I saw you accosting a woman in a parking lot and interjected if you are committing a crime. Yeah? But that's what the agent was. No, the agent was acting within his lawful authority, dealing with someone who was obstructing law enforcement activity. That's what happened. You may not agree with the law enforcement activity, and that's your right. You may want to protest it, and that's your right. But it was lawful activity that he interfered with, and he again, is now held to a higher standard of conduct because he is armed. Okay? Starting a conflict while armed with anybody is dumb, but doing it with a Leo, which is a law enforcement officer, for you simple-minded people, really stupid. It's really stupid. Shouldn't do it. It's a bad decision. All right? However, this is where everybody that's on my side right now gets very upset with me. This one needs some serious investigation. This needs serious investigation. I'm not sure. I still don't have a final opinion on this. And, you know, with the Rene Good shooting, it was like, there's a 5% chance I'm wrong, but it's probably a justifiable shoot. This one, I'm not willing to go there, even not 95-5. I don't even know what the split is. I believe that man was disarmed and then shot. And who did and did not know that? And who was in charge? Who was the senior officer there? Who made the litany of decisions that led up to the final confrontation? It is no doubt that Alex Preti bears some, if not the bulk, of the responsibility for what happened. It does not absolve Customs and Border Patrol. Not ICE, by the way. Not ICE. And it's ICE did this. And you have no business issuing any opinion because you haven't even done enough investigation to know who actually shot the fucking guy. It was not an ICE agent. It was a Customs and Border Patrol. And they are different organizations and different entities. Which, by the way, they probably wouldn't have been there if we didn't have all the agitators in the streets. It would have just been ICE. Okay? But what you have to remember, no matter what, when you're looking at this is the goal. The goal by the organizers that are actually behind all this, the people that are funding it and the people that are training the retards in the street how to act, their goal is to get the retards in the street shot, killed, beaten, tear gassed, arrested. That's their goal. Their goal is to get more people killed. I know that's hard to accept because you're not a sick, fucking, twisted person, and you wouldn't do that, but they will. The entire goal here is to create in your head, your tiny little brain, a vision of this is what deportation looks like. What you're seeing on TV is not deportation. And when you see somebody get arrested and thrown in a car because they blocked a car, pushed an agent, whatever, right, they're not being deported. I'm an American citizen. They're trained to say that because they're creating this illusion, right, that this is what deportation looks like. No, this is what an organization tasked with the deportation of illegal aliens interfered with by a bunch of leftist lunatics looks like. And that's the goal. The goal is to make you think that what you see on TV is ICE and its daily operations the way it normally operates. And it's not. So, what should be done here? Deep, honest investigation. Will that happen? I don't know. I can't promise that it will. I don't run fucking DHS. I don't run ICE. I don't run Customs and Border Patrol. I don't run the FBI. But to me, this one isn't so clear cut. And you can have the person who ended up becoming the victim be responsible for 60, 70% of the altercation, and it doesn't take law enforcement completely off the hook. Could it be that if you do a fair investigation, which has to start at least 10 minutes before the event and right up to the event, that you come up with there's nothing here to prosecute or to do any kind of disciplinary action? Sure. Is that my gut? No. No. I think there were mistakes made by the government agents here. The question is, how much of the responsibility do they bear? Now, again, I like I said, that'll probably piss everybody off. But you know what you call that? Fair and balanced. Actual fair and balanced. because I'm open to, just like I was open to the concept that, like, I'm 95% that the Renee Good shooting was a good shoot, morally, legally, ethically. Tragedy, but I got 5% that maybe I'm wrong. I've got, you know, 10-20% that maybe I'm wrong about somebody being culpable here other than Alex Preti. But my gut leans to there were probably procedural mistakes that would have prevented this from happening, and somebody needs to be accountable for that. Do I think he was executed? No, and I think anybody that says that is retarded. I think when people say things, they're gunning us down in the streets, you are not a serious person, so I do not take you seriously, and the only response you get is you're retarded. And I get people on social media, whatever, they say, you're retarded. Oh, that's very intellectually. No, you are not deep enough. You are not a serious enough person for a serious response. You're lucky you got, hey, you're retarded. Right? That was a gift to you. Because you're not a serious person. And when people say things like that, not serious people. When people talk about they're deporting Americans, you're not a serious person. You're not a serious person. Right? They're deporting people just because they're brown. You're not a serious person. It could happen to you. You're not a serious person. Not a serious person. They detained a child when they arrested the parent that the child was with. What do you think they do when I was a young father and my son was, let's say, 10 years old, let's say if I was driving down the road and had a pocket full of dope, cop pulls me over, frisks me for whatever reason, finds all the dope on me and goes, dude, that's not just possession. Like that's intent to distribute. I'm going to arrest you on a felony. What do you think they do with my kid? Just leave them there in the street? Besides, the family that gets deported together stays together. You guys wanted families to stay together. So I don't know. I do want to move on to some of the most infuriating words that came out of this whole incident, though. They didn't come out of the mouth of the leftist lunatics. For once, they didn't come out of the mouths of special libertarians. They came out of the mouths of icons of the MAGA movement and the right. Donald Trump, Kash Patel, Pam Bondi, and DHS Barbie Christy Noem. Okay? All these statements. You don't just put a gun on like that and go out unless you're looking to cause trouble. All of the shit about the gun. Bullshit, you fucking motherfuckers. You absolute orange piece of fucking shit. Fuck you. Okay? There you go. He carries water for... Fuck the orange man and fuck his comments about gun rights. After all his talk and all his bullshit, I'll always protect your precious, big, beautiful Second Amendment. Fuck you. Fuck all of you people. They say shit like that. Taking the gun to the protest, probably not smart. Taking a gun to a protest and then starting a fight with agents, really fucking stupid. Played Marvel superhero. Ended up dead. Saying that just because someone has a gun, that in of itself is bad. Fuck all of you. Fuck all of you. And you better get your shit together because the people that you fucking depend on to maintain your power apparatus are not going to tolerate that shit. And I'll tell you who else is fucking fucked up in the head. Okay. Special libertarians, once again, that think the right is just okay with this. The Republicans who voted for Trump are just okay with these statements, right? This is fucking nonsense. This is why we call you special, because you can't think with any nuance. A person can say, I don't really like these people, but I like them better than these other people. That's not exactly a resounding endorsement. What was your choice? One thing Republicans have right, okay? One thing Republicans have right is, at least it's not Kamala. Could you see right now in this country, if Cackles, Harris, and Tampon Tim were freaking president and vice president, what the hell would be going on? What do you think would be happening to your gun rights then? These people can't think past the next move. They're not just not chess players. These people can't play checkers. These people can't play fucking tic-tac-toe. They're the guy with all the shit with all the lines, right? The famous meme. We're going to get this over here and that over here and this over here. Me and my friends figuring out how to start a commune or some shit. That meme, right? That's what they think they are, but they can't see past tomorrow morning. They can't see past tomorrow morning. Yeah, it was this year. It was all, what was all planned? Here's the person, you say something like this, right? Tell me what was planned. It, what is it, was all planned and created exactly what they wanted. I think in the macro, you're right, but I don't think that's what you're talking about. I don't think that's what you're talking about, right? It's not ever that simple. Okay, guys, it's never that simple. There's these things called variables in life. And whenever they throw something out there, you know, they have a plan, but it never goes according to plan. Anybody that thinks any plan ever goes exactly according to plan has never had a plan that actually had an end. You ever got past the A in plan, you had a plus. If you've ever actually had a plan, you know that plans never go full to plan, right? What's interesting to me is all the special libertarians, Jack Spirko 10 years ago would have never said this. He would have never posted this. Guys, this is the same shit I've always said. Back when this shit with the Bundy Ranch and all was going on, and those guys armed up, and they were, you know, our guys, right? Our side. I said, this is not smart. This gives the government an excuse. This is going to lead to bad things. And guess what it did? It led to bad things. There are people, well, what about the founders? Okay, here's the founders and the militias around the founders. Okay, when they pulled out the guns and went to a place, they were ready to shoot somebody with them. They were ready to shoot somebody with them. Lexington Green, right, was not a protest. So this whole, like, invoking, again, people invoking the founders hate the founders. The people invoking the founders right now hate the founders. They were white, rich, cisgendered, awful, patriarchal, slave-owning Nazis before there were Nazis, right? Like, you don't get to, I'm sorry, I don't have any time for people who motherfuck a thing until such time as they can pull it out and cuddle it because it benefits them at the moment. You either are for something or you're not for something. Make a choice. But I've been the same way the entire time. I've said in all instances, when it comes to protesting and guns, you can, but you probably shouldn't. I defy you to see where I've ever encouraged anybody to take a gun to a protest. You got 18 years of shit to go through. Get on it. Go find it. And if you find it, I'll say, well, you know what? You're right. I don't know. I hit my head that day or something, and there it is. But I don't think you're going to find it. I've always been a pragmatist. I've always opposed government, but here's the problem that special libertarians have, that many people in the whole, they think they're liberty-minded people have. You're not liberty-minded because you don't understand something in mathematics we would call order of operations. You know, multiply, divide before you add or subtract, right? My dear Aunt Sally, right? PEDMOS, right? Order of operations is very important. If you ignore the order of operations in an equation, you always get the wrong answer, right? Unless by luck, it just happens that the order of operations are directly linear. But in a complex mathematical equation, order of operations are important, yeah? Okay. That's how dismantling a government works. See, the problem with the modern Libertarian Party is they become so brain dead. Anything that weakens government must be good, with no concept of order of operations. So when I look at this as a pragmatist, what is my ideal world? There is no government. There's no taxes. Okay? Everything is private. Everything is voluntary. That's my ideal world. I'm also a pragmatist, and I know that society has not gotten anywhere close to being able to pull that off yet. So then I say, okay, well, okay, within that framework and that desire, what does a federal government that is as least a problem in the lives of American citizens look like? And that would be a government whose primary responsibility is the security of the nation on a global level. That does not mean having bases all over the world. That means, like, this is the United States. These are our borders. If you come inside our borders, we will fuck your ever-loving world to shit. You don't get to do shit here unless we say so. This is our country. We own this country, and fuck you if you don't like it. Yep, I'm fine with that federal government. And only what is necessary to make that happen. Okay? Libertarians want to live in a world where we don't have any taxation. Everything is voluntary, yada, yada. You know what you don't have in that world? You don't have a welfare state. You don't have a welfare state. People come here because the border's open in that world, and you know what they get? Fucking nothing. They either do something to contribute to society or they starve. Okay, you have to have order of operations. If you take away the border and you leave all the rest of the mechanism of control inside those borders, then the power of government over people gets bigger and not smaller. Right? If you give me a chart of all the things the federal government can do, and you say, make a list of how they should be disassembled and be taken away, the last thing I get to is the defense of the homeland, the borders. Now, again, that does not mean, hey, we need a base in 120 countries, right? That doesn't mean that. It does mean that we do need to look after our freaking borders of our country, period. And you cannot ignore, you can't start on the wrong end, right? You can't start with subtraction on a complex mathematical formula instead of starting out with parentheses, right? you got to start the way that the system was designed to work. And if you go back to the time of our founders, then you'll find that the federal government's mandate was mostly that: facilitate commerce between the states, deal with international negotiations, defend the country. That was pretty much it. That I would take. Is it perfect? No. Is it better? Yeah, a lot. And this is who I've been. I quoted fucking Oliver Wendell Holmes in like the first 2 weeks of the show. The right to swing my fist ends where the other man's nose begins. I've quoted founders of this country from the day one up till now. Just because I would like to see our country become even more free than what they envisioned doesn't mean that what they envisioned wasn't more free than what we have. I don't understand how anybody doesn't understand that unless you just don't want to. And the alternative is pretty simple, right? So, like, I get these people all the time. I can't believe you still support Trump. What are you talking about? Did I tell anybody to vote for the guy? No. You say he's better than the other side. Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, when you have a choice between two, one's better. If you're upset with that, then what you're telling me is coconut tree is better. Get the fuck out of here. Right? And in general, Republicans are scum. And I'm not talking about Republican people. Republican politicians are scum. And then Democrat politicians tend to be scum minus 40. Scum minus 40. Think I got to go with scum here. Don't want to, but think I got to go with scum here. That's kind of what I'm left with. And the people of Virginia decided they didn't need to do that. Now we're going to embrace scum minus 40. So they completely swung their state. They went with Democrat majorities in their legislature and a Democratic governor. And now what are they going to get for their time? 50 taxes. I didn't say a 50% tax increase. I said 50 new taxes and tax increases. Yes, these guys, here's what they want to add taxes on or increase taxes on where they already exist. Virginia Democratic lawmakers in Richmond introduced more than 50 new taxes and tax increases this month during the General Assembly session. Taxes on concerts, counseling, electric leaf blowers, Amazon deliveries, DoorDash, Uber Eats, and guns and ammunition are among a flood of proposals for Democrat majority in Virginia General Assembly introduced. And you can keep going and read more, but there's a total of more than 50. These people campaigned on affordability. You know what's happening in Virginia right now? Virginians are very upset, including the Virginians that voted for these people. Fucking suffer. Suffer. Pay your taxes, bitches. Go ahead. You decided that scum negative 40 was better than scum alone. This is what you get. This is what you get. You wanted to do it, suffer through it. New York City with Mondami, fucking suffer through it. You chose this. You retards that elected that retard with SSRIs in Seattle, suffer through it. The Portland retard y'all elected, suffer through it. The Minneapolis retard mayor who thinks he's going to fight ICE, suffer through it. You deserve what you've done. You deserve to live with your choices. These people constantly elect these idiots, constantly bemoan what they do after they get elected, then scream no kings while they put people in who lay 50 new taxes on top of them. I got no sympathy for your ass. Now, I think you guys think, well, if Jack was in charge, man, he'd just lay waste to Minneapolis. No, I would leave Minneapolis the fuck alone. The way Minneapolis has behaved, I would back off of Minneapolis and I'd put a fucking wall around it. You know where you're going to show ID to get the fuck out of there. That's what I'll put a wall. And you think I'm kidding. He's a totalitarian for this. Yeah, sure. Sure. You can just stay in that fucking shithole or you can leave. But on the way out, you're going to stop, talk to a man who's going to go, hey, you know, you're not supposed to be here anyway. The fuck out you go. See, I have no problem. This is something I don't think people understand. I can be a libertarian. I can be a voluntarist and I can still be pro deportation. I don't care who gets deported if they're here illegally. If I fuck my taxes up by 25 cents, the United States federal government will make my life fucking miserable. And these people come here in violation of the law when they get here and they're handed goodies and handouts and put into a protected class of citizenry. They commit crimes and are put right back on the streets with no bail. No, no, out. Out. Come through the front door or get the fuck out. I'm going to take your libertarian card. Go the fuck ahead. It's not worth a fucking thing anymore. You know it? I'm not even calling myself a libertarian anymore. Because the Libertarian Party destroyed itself. By 2015, they headed into woke zone. By 2020, they're full on transtard woke. And now it's just, it's like Democrats have the oppression Olympics. Who can be more oppressed? The libertarians have become who can be more libertarian without any concept of logic and reason behind it. So I don't give a shit what you do on that. But do you want good news? Who wants some good news? There is some good news. There's a lot of good news, and it makes the left miserable. The left is miserable, and the left being miserable makes me happy. I'm going to give you a bunch of ways the left is losing miserably right now, and it's making them even more miserable. Number one, their holy temple is dying. It's being destroyed. The holy temple of the left. What is the holy temple of the left? Academia. Academia. So I have been saying for years now, some of you have been around long enough to know when I say years, I mean over a decade. The college system in the United States is a scam and it is falling apart and it is going to be unrecognizable by the 2030s. How long have I been saying that? Okay. Here's an article out. Just came out last week. I held on to it for when I came back. Up to 25% of U.S. colleges may close soon. Brandeis president warned. So this is a major organization's president stating about 25% of colleges in the United States could soon close. And I'll tell you something, no one's really, I'm not going to say no one's talking about it, but it's being very, talked about in a very small way. And I don't think anybody's making the connection as to the larger implication as to what it means. And it is that many states are now looking to their two-year colleges and going, we have to do something to lower the cost of education to the next generation because, well, colleges are dying. And that means that college graduation numbers are going down as well. And we built this whole Ponzi scheme saying you needed one, and now people can't get one. So what does that look like? So we needed this. So what they're doing is they're starting to propose allowing community colleges to universities to issue four-year degrees. Now, this is going to cause a huge conflict between the four-year universities that have tolerated these community colleges up till now. They've always, have you ever noticed how they always build jokes into popular culture and stuff like that about people with, you got a degree from community college, right? Community college, like you look down on because you went, but you're not stupid and you didn't piss your money away for your first 2 years, but you're stupid because I don't know, you got the wrong tag on your jeans, basically. Well, they're talking about allowing that to go to a 4-year thing, and there's no reason why it shouldn't. None. There's no reason why college, for most things, can't just be on your computer at your house. The artificial inflation of the cost is ridiculous. Textbook, housing, we can make it all go away, digitize everything. Unless it needs to be done in a lab or some sort of real group collaboratory environment, you know, like you're going to medical school or something like that, okay. But most of this shit, like you have a degree in human resources or information technology, 90% of that shit can be done sitting behind a computer. Just like your job will be after the fact, by the way. And most of what you'll learn when you actually start doing your job anyway, and the company that hires you has to first train you to make you fucking useful. So why not? But the colleges are being decimated. Decimated. And the colleges in the middle are the ones that are going to get hit the hardest. 10 years from now, people are still going to want to go to Harvard, Princeton, Yale, Stanford, UCLA, Berkeley, et cetera. Okay? And people definitely will still go to community colleges really cheap. But all those really expensive mid-tier schools, they're going to be gone or much smaller. I mean, there's a lot of mid-tier schools that are $30,000, $40,000 a year. And a lot of the state universities, especially satellite campuses, are collapsing into themselves. Now, who could have told you this? I don't know. Maybe his name was Jack. But next, what else is happening is, surprise, surprise, Gen Z men turn out to be kind of based. There's a lot of articles out under this same headline umbrella right now. I've seen it on UK, like the Mail and the Guardian, MSN here, Yahoo News, various repetitions of this headline, though written by other authors, not necessarily Amelia Hansford, who I'm sure it's just a joy to be around, okay, who wrote this one. But the headline on MSN News is, men under 24 are returning to homophobic views of past generations, studies suggest. Now, first of all, we learned a long time ago listening to Uncle Jack that when something ends with experts, you know, comma experts say or comma study suggests, it's usually bullshit to begin with. Like that pattern is well established in the media is a hit piece that they're taking something and bending it to their agenda, right? It's a FNORD, right? FNORD, FNORD, right? Piece of information in plain sight. In this case, though, the bigger information is what's behind it. Okay, young men are not homophobic. That's the FNORD, the word homophobic. I don't know about you, but never in my life was I like, oh my God, there's a gay person. I better run. He's going to spread gay cooties to me. Or, oh my God, he'll induct me into the Gay Hall of Fame or something. Like, I have never in my life been afraid of a gay person. Right? I'm just not. A phobia is a fear. Right. If you're afraid of heights, I think that's agoraphobia. I'm not sure. Right. But, you know, that means when you're on a top of a building, you're afraid to be up there. Right. We're not afraid of gay people. It's fatigue. It's fatigue of having everything that can be gay or gay adjacent crammed into one thing and shoved into our face in every aspect of our life. LGBTQ plus blah, 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 infinity, right? That shit. Girls having to put up with men in their locker rooms or in their sports. All of it. The right pronoun, blah, blah, blah. No, and it turns out that when you specifically say that men who are normal, and you make up a word for it, cisgendered, What the fuck is that shit? Normal, right? When you motherfuck normal long enough, it turns out there's still more normal people than not normal people. And eventually, normal people go, wait a minute, they're talking about me. Fuck you. And I want you to notice something. If you go look up these other versions of it, you know what it doesn't say? It doesn't say straight white males. It doesn't say white. It doesn't say straight. Young men, period, blanket term. Why? Because it includes black men. It includes Hispanic men. It probably includes actually quite a few people who are gay, but what you would call normal gay. They're just gay. They happen to like people of the same gender. Okay, whatever. Leave me alone. Don't bother me. Don't care. Fuck. Your relationships are your own business. That's also been my stance the entire time. Right? Don't care. But when you try to shove it at our faces and you talk shit about the people, you can't be surprised when the same people you've been spending all this time talking shit about say, you know what? Fuck you then. Fuck you. Then I don't believe anything else you have to say, right? Because here's the one thing you can know as a man. I'm a good man. Or I'm not a good man. Or I'm a bad man. Like, you know what you are. You know what you are. And you might even go through some period of time where you're not sure what you are. And I don't mean about the whole gay thing. I just mean like, am I really a good guy? Because I think if you don't actually at some point question yourself and go, am I really doing my best? Am I really a good guy? Am I really dad material? Am I really husband material? Am I really father material? Am I a good uncle? Am I a good sibling? Am I a good son? I think if you don't ever get to that point, you haven't grown up. But I think most young men before 24 get to that point if they're growing the fuck up anyway, if they're not in permanent stall mode with failure to launch like a lot of millennials, not all millennials, but a lot of them. And at that point, I think that most people are good and they come away understanding, look, I am a good man. All I want in my life is a good partner and a home of my own. And I'm working really hard and things are really hard. And I'm not getting everything handed to me the way that these people claim. I don't feel this privilege they're always talking about. Not just white privilege, but male privilege. Like, I'm the one that has to like do the hardest work, the shittiest work, always go last. And I'm tired of being motherfucked. Good on you, young men. Good. That's exactly how you should feel. Because I'll tell you that only you can fix this. Only our young men can fix this. When men stop following women around with their noses up their assholes like they're super special, like they have GPS, all right? You figure it out for yourself what I'm talking about when I say GPS. I don't mean satellites. The first word is golden and the last word is syndrome. Yeah? You figure out what the P means, right? Get your nose out of their ass. Have self-respect. And say, if you're going to be in a relationship with me or you're going to depend on me for things, you're going to treat me with respect or go fuck yourself. Because you're going to find out that these people, these little coddled special kids in the middle, they only exist off the back of your work and your labor. And those who came before you, you're welcome. We're pitching in too. Still, we're old. We're still pitching in. We run society. Not these people who are professional administrators. Not these purple breathing retards. We run society. And I'm not saying exclusively men, but men have a huge part in it. I'll put it to you this way. If all women quit all their jobs tomorrow, there'd be problems, but we would survive. And the main places you would actually feel the shortfall is in human resources because we don't really need you. Okay? You know, it's not all of the email jobs that make you think you're superheroes and girl bosses. It would be in education because there's a larger number of females that are teachers. It would be in medicine, and it would be mostly at the caregiver level. We would have the two biggest problems, right? But I can definitely tell you that if we took half of all jobs, and I know you're going to be pissed, ladies, I'm sorry, but if you actually look at what these people do, but I do a thing that's important. I said half. Maybe you're in the other half, okay? But if you could take half of all female jobs and just not have them even exist. I don't mean replace them with men. I mean just get rid of the jobs. And nothing would happen. By the way, there's a shitload of men I can say that about too. But I can also tell you, if you took half of all men off out of the workplace in one fell swoop, society would grind to a halt. Because of all the places that are necessary for society to function, that the majority of women won't touch a job doing. Like, where's your garbage going to go today? If it's garbage day for you, if not today, tomorrow, the next day, who's going to come get your garbage? Is it going to be women? You're saying women can't. I'm not saying women can't do a fucking garbage man's job. I'm saying they don't. If you need plumbing work done, how many are women? I know a company that's one. I'm in the middle. And what I'm saying is that men are leaders in society. And when men say, fuck no, no more, I'm going to, you know, the whole Met Gal thing, you're about to see that on steroids with these younger guys. Fuck it. When you're ready to respect me, we can have interaction and a relationship. Until then, I'll just look out for myself, and I think I'm going to be okay. That's what your 24-year-old needs to be thinking right now. By the way, that's a good mindset for young men in general when it comes to dating. That's a great mindset. Top Cone says, firefighters, less than 25% are women, 40% are EMS. Okay? And if you take all the admin shit out of that, and you take active hands-on people, I bet you those numbers even get worse. I bet you the numbers get worse. How many of the women in firefighting are lesbian deputy chiefs and things like that that don't even have a lot of experience in firefighting? I'm sorry. There are jobs that women in general do not want to do. And men do those jobs, and those jobs are critical to society functioning. And what do? We devalue the men that do those jobs. The pipe fitters, the electricians, the people that run excavators and build roads, right? The people that defend your country. There's women in the infantry. Again, you're over here pointing on the bell curve at the 1%, and I'm sitting here at the 76% in the center. This is how things work. And young men, if you want respect, you're going to have to demand respect. If you don't do it, it's not going to happen. What else is the left really miserable about right now? Well, their little experiment with telling us we have 10 years to act on climate change is now 37 years old. 37 years. I'm not making that number up. I have a link today in the show notes if you want to go look at Flashback 1989. UN, that's the United Nations, we'll talk more about them in a bit, issues 10-year global warming tipping point. This article's from 2015, and it says the United Nations in 2015 is once again issuing a tipping point deadline by which humanity must act in order to combat global warming, and it says we have 10 years. They gave us an 8-year warning in 2007. And again, we can trace this all the way back to 1989. And then we got a 10-year warning in 2000. You see the problem. See, the problem here is that people are waking up to this. I'm not going to say there's not a lot of really stupid people out there who are going, climate change. It's not what it used to be, folks. It's not. It's dying. It's dying. And, you know, you had almost 40 years on a 10-year warning. That's a pretty good run. That's a pretty good run. But this is going away, too. And this is something some of these people have dedicated their existence to. And I think what we're seeing from the left here is what it looks like when people have no religion or God or spirituality in their life, and they're the kind of person that has a hole because of that. And they need something to fill it with. But since they can't fill it with religion or faith or spirituality, they fill it with a cause. And it has all the hallmarks of religion. There's an apocalypse coming, and we're the chosen people that are here to prevent it. It's the same thing. But when someone just like starts tearing all your temples down and you realize that your religion was all built on lies, it hurts. And so the left is very miserable right now about the fact that they're losing the ability to control society through the climate change narrative. And I know some of you are thinking, what do you mean, Jack? They're still, no, they're not. No, they're not. If I go back 15 years, while certain things were definitely less insane than they are today, especially on the trans-tardism, when I turned on the TV, I probably heard, unless I'm watching like a cop show or something, you know, a sitcom or whatever, if I was watching the news, I probably heard climate change once every 5 minutes. I would say like half the guest applications that I just didn't even respond to were people that wanted to fight climate change. Climate change, climate change, climate change, climate change, climate change. I spoke at one permaculture event, and the first email I got about people coming in for the event used the word carbon like 14 times, and it wasn't for carbon 14 dating, and it wasn't because it was an element that we used for permaculture. It was to save on carbon. Basically begging people to carpool from the airport. I haven't heard shit like this anymore at all to that level. Because, and those of you that are still true believers, when will it be enough to admit you're wrong? How many times does 10 years to act have to come and go and nothing meaningful happen before you admit that you might be wrong? Well, here's the thing. No matter where you are, a lot of people have gotten there now. There's fatigue in a lot of things. You know what finally took society back from the COVID narrative? Fatigue. They even use the term COVID fatigue. They tried to convince you not to give up on the belief in the death cult. But eventually people are just like, I've been waiting for everybody to die for like 3 years now. I'm going to take my chin diaper off. And I'm going to go back to living. And long before everybody in control was willing to let go of it, everybody in society ignored it. And that's what killed it. That's where we are with climate change. It was much more entrenched. People were programmed with it. Some of you guys were programmed with it from kindergarten forward till today. Very hard to let go of, but you're going to have to, because all your favorite celebrities and politicians that tell you how important this is and we're going to be underwater, they're still all buying beachfront property. They're still all buying beachfront property. I mean, if these people believe their own bullshit, they would all live somewhere in the Rocky Mountains and they wouldn't have a beach house, right? They would all be building fortifications for the apocalypse like they make out that we're doing. But they're not, because they know it's bullshit. And even some of the most, you know, lather, rinse, repeat celebrities in this shit have gone like, yeah, we need to stop talking about this. It's not going anywhere. It's not working. Yeah, because it's not. It's not. 37 years. Go look it up. UN climate change prediction, 1989. If you doubt me. That's the same people telling you today. 1989. Some of you that are mad at me right now, you weren't even fucking born yet. That means your entire life has been this narrative. It's not come to be. When? Is 50? I want to know from somebody that still believes in it. When? How many years? 37 isn't enough. Is 40? Three more? 40? Right? No? 50? How long before you give up on this? Or at least admit that it's just an article of faith. Again, you've probably plugged something in your heart with it. Then what I call the left second wind, they're aging into obscurity. Of course, I mean the boomers. I don't want to offend boomers because there's a lot of great boomers. The actual difference between boomers is Gen X is we were young during the technology flip and they were established already. That's it. We grew up with the same fucking childhood, guys. Right. All the shit Gen X is like, you know, mocking millennials for not doing, like drinking out of the hose and staying out till like all boomers did that shit too. All. OK. But the boomers were the first generation that was really pulled into the holy temple of university of liberal academia. And they were the ones sent out to march in the streets. sometimes for lunacy, but often for good causes. And they want one last hurrah. That's why there's so many of them out marching for this illegal alien bullshit and all. They have no idea what they're doing. Most of them are Democrats because their parents were Democrats and their parents were FDR Democrats. They really don't understand what they're pushing for or what they're asking for. They just know orange man bad. Right? That's all they know. And they have been the easiest group to influence in history because they're just sophisticated enough to be tuned into the technological aspects to condition people, social media, but they're just old enough to not really understand how it all works. So they're extremely susceptible. Plus, as we age, and I'm sure I'll get there too, most of us at some point become a little more fearful. We fear losing what we have, that's Social Security, and we become easier to manipulate as our faculties go into decline. Boomers, sorry. That's where you're, and we'll be there soon. People like me, as gray as I am, I'll be there soon. I understand. But the first boomers are going to hit 80 this year. That does not mean all boomers are 80. That means the aging edge of the demographic. The youngest, the oldest boomers are turning 80. And you start to really lose impact in society by the time you're 80. I would say about 75. Now, there's a lot made of the senior vote, and that's the vote, but actual influence on society, making decisions for companies and things like that, with the exception of a few people that kind of hang on as CEOs and stuff like that, well into their 80s and some even into their 90s, the world is run by middle-aged people. And so this whole cohort that seemed to do everything it could to burn it down on the way out of corporate America with DEI and shit like that, you're aging out of influence. Guess who's taken over those senior positions, even though they say we're not? Gen X. Gen X. Yeah, we're going to go scorched earth. I'm sorry. And older millennials, too, by the way. Your Zennials, they call them. Like, the millennials that are technically part of the millennial cohort, but they have more in common with the people that were their older brothers and sisters than they do their younger brothers and sisters. Those people, yeah, fixing to go scorched earth. You know, they say Gen X is really a bunch of slackers. 330 odd of the Fortune 500 companies have Gen X CEOs now. You couldn't say that 10 years ago, but you can say that now. More than 50% Fortune 500. In fact, it's more than 50% of the Fortune 1000 are today run by Gen X. Just because we're not presidents doesn't mean anything. Okay? We're taking over. Just because that's how things work generationally. As we move into a fourth turning and we turn back and we look at our Gen Z and Gen Alphas that, you know, we're saying, don't listen to your millennial parents about this shit. Listen to grandpa. Listen to your great uncle. And this is making the left miserable. The second wind is aging into irrelevance. And I don't say that with any joy because, again, the older I get, the more I know my day is coming too. But it's true. Next up, their whole vegan church is collapsing. This is everywhere right now. This is on the Telegraph. The collapse of the vegan boom. Restaurants and retailers ditch meat-free dishes as shoppers' demand wanes. Here's the thing. People didn't go vegan. They liked vegan as a thing. They liked it like getting a bumper sticker. Like, I'm going to go out once a week and have Meatless Monday, right? Or I'm going to go to this new chic vegan restaurant or something. Until people realize, like, this sucks. This isn't how I want to live. I mean, huge vegan influencers have been busted eating hamburgers over the last few years. But the whole thing's falling apart. This became really important to the left simply because the right was opposed to it. Most people on the left are not vegans. Most people on the left don't want to be vegans. they do want to eat less meat, whatever the fuck that means, right? While they're eating Twinkies and Ho-Hos and Ding Dongs and Cheetos and Nutty Buddies and Nutter Butters and talking about being healthier. These are the same people that when you're eating McDonald's, have no problem, but if you don't get the fries and you take the burger off the bun, you're going to die. Right? They're not vegans. They weren't even really vegan friendly. They were vegan trendy. But see, you can't build a business on things that are just trendy if they don't become regularly used. And it was a really interesting thing to watch it happen in the grocery stores. All the Beyond Meat bullshit came out, right? And where was it? It was in the meat case next to the meat. Turns out that even though it's made of plants, it doesn't last forever that way. So we watched it go from the meat case to the freezer section. And then we watched the freezer section that had it shrink. Why? Because first of all, if you're going to be a vegan, you probably don't want to eat that shit. A person who really wants to be a vegan, like, they're not like, oh, I want to aspire to be a vegan. I think it's healthier. Bill Gates said so, and he has man breasts, and I want him to. Like, unless you're like some weird fuck like that, the average person that actually is a vegan is probably vegan for religious reasons, would be one option. And they already have very specific dietary components that go along with the veganism. And they're eating a very curated diet within that framework. Or they just don't like animals being killed. And what eventually happens to those people, because they're in this sea of abyss, right? And they grew up in a culture eating meat and all. Most of those people become vegetarians. And I've always said this. I have never had a problem getting along with vegetarians. Vegans and vegetarians are very different. A vegan is like, I can't believe you ate cheese. The cow is a slave, right? Or I just don't eat that because of my faith. That group of people never bothers you, by the way. It's always the leftist tards that bother you, right? The cow is a slave, the PETA people, right? Vegetarians go, the cow needs to have the milk come out. Whether the calf takes it or we take it, it's cheese. People have been eating cheese for thousands of years. It's one of mankind's earliest way to preserve a high nutrient dense food like milk. I'm going to eat the cheese. I'm going to eat the egg. We have enough chickens. We don't need all the eggs hatched. The chicken does not care that I took its egg, doesn't care at all. I'm going to eat the egg. And there's also a great deal of people out there who they call themselves pescatarians, and they're basically vegetarians, but they eat fish and shellfish. And I actually respect that group a great deal because I understand why most of them are that way. Most of them are not that way for purely health reasons. They don't like to see animals suffer and hurt, and they don't want animals killed for their own use. Okay, so I disagree with you, but that's fine. I completely support your right to feel that way. And if they are a logical person with an actual education, they know that fish and shellfish lack a prefrontal cortex. And with that lacking, they're okay with that particular organism's life being ended for food. And if you don't know what that means, look up what it means that a fish doesn't have a prefrontal cortex. Or something at even a lower stage like an oyster or a clam, right? You know, a bivalve doesn't have, they don't have a lot of things. Just leave it at that. So they're miserable because they're losing their church of veganism. They're losing their church of climate control, and they're losing their holy temple of academia, among other things. And I'm going to tell you that TV shows and things like that are actually, they're starting to reflect this change. And I want to show you something. Hopefully I'm not going to get demonetized for it. But Budweiser has leaked its commercial for the Super Bowl this year. And a lot of people, when I shared this, are like, I still don't trust them. I'm like, well, when the hell have you ever trusted a giant corporation like Budweiser? Because I didn't, right? It's not about trust. I think one of the things that entrepreneurs understand that many people do not is that companies respond to markets, not markets to companies, when it comes to their marketing and what they push out the door. And we've had this cult of LGBTQ woke bullshit pushed on us for like 10 years, and it just didn't work, bluntly. The average person said no to this bullshit. And I don't care that you see so many people saying yes to it, because it's still a small percentage of the whole. And this commercial may be one of the greatest commercials ever made in showing that the companies are beginning to grasp what the market actually wants, especially the person that drinks Budweiser beer. And I'm going to say Budweiser, Bud Light, Bud anything, right? This working man's beer, it always has been. It's the guy that works a construction job. It's the guy that drives a pickup truck. It's a guy that when you ask him what he wants to do on his weekend, he wants to go hunting or fishing or go to a NASCAR race or something like that. He wants to play football or baseball with his kid. That's who drinks this product. And that's the market that this product has always had. And that's why some of the dumb shit specifically Bud Light did brand them to the edge of bankruptcy. This is the company understanding the market has spoken and acquiescing to the market. And what I want to say about this is I'm going to play it with the sound off, hoping that I don't get demonetized by it. Okay. That's what I'm going to hope here by playing this. I'm going to explain it. But the song that's going on while this whole thing is going on is Free Bird by Lynyrd Skynyrd. And I'm going to explain it because I don't think the person listening to this audio only is going to get it unless I'm explaining it. And again, hopefully this will all work out. So let's give it a go here. The scene starts out. There's a young pony, a Clydesdale. He comes running out. He's all excited. He's a new pony. And a bald eagle chick falls out of the nest and lands on the ground, okay? And it starts pouring rain, and the horse comes out of his stall, and he stands over the little chick and protects him from the rain. And then the chick and the horse, when the snow comes, they go back in the stall together, and they start hanging out. And spring comes, and the horse is running, and the chick's growing up, and he's riding on the horse's back and trying to fly. And he keeps trying to fly, and he keeps falling off. Eventually, you know, the horse and this right here, this might be the best piece of cinematography that has ever happened on TV. The horse is running. The eagle's on his back, but you see the horse on the front, so you can't see him. And the eagle, finally grown up enough to fly, spreads its wings, and the horse is jumping a log with the sun behind it, and it looks like a Pegasus. And then, after that, of course, the two separate. The eagle comes off soaring, switches to Budweiser beer, right? Now, I've never been a Budweiser drinker. But my favorite scene in this commercial is the two dudes are drinking their Budweiser. And the one dude says to the other beer, dude, are you crying? And he says, sun's in my eyes. Right? That's kind of that play on the whole thing where people are, when you put something online, go, who's cutting onions in here, right? But this is like, we're back, baby. And this is not about Budweiser. This is about a major corporation going, son, we done fucked up, and we better start speaking to our market. When I look at things like this, I'm not judging the company. I'm judging the people the message is for and what that says about society. Recently, somebody said to me on social media, are you saying that voting actually matters? I said, no, not really. Because it's preordained how these elections are going to come out. But it tells you who people are. It tells you who people are. When you look at the way a country votes as a whole and regions vote individually, you can tell a lot about society from how it votes. And you can tell a lot about society from the marketing that major corporations extend. And when they give up on something, it just didn't work. So this is another reason the left is miserable. And somebody, some of the people said, I've watched that commercial, you know, a dozen times or more. It is, and Kevin says the song really makes it. Yeah, and I'm hoping I'm going to get demonetized by not playing the song. I highly recommend, if you haven't seen it yet, just go to YouTube and look up Budweiser Super Bowl commercial 2026, and you will find it. It is a phenomenally well done piece of cinematography. Again, this has nothing to do with that. Budweiser beer sucks. I've never liked Budweiser. If I have a choice between Budweiser and no beer, and it's a situation where I want a beer, I'll drink a Budweiser. But it will be on the bottom. Like, there's some things that go under it, but it's way down the list. Right? I'm more of a microbrew guy. You know? I like the closest thing to light American lager I like is a Yingling lager, which is not like your typical American light beer. Okay? So it's not about the product. It's about the message. But we're not done yet with the left being miserable. The left's having to admit some things right now, backhandedly, no doubt, that there's really no way around. And one of those things is capitalism works better than everything else in society, and specifically American capitalism. Nothing has been more successful in the world than American capitalism, and we know this because another one of the holy temples of the left is crumbling. That would be the World Government Temple of the United Nations. The president of the UN recently stated the UN risks imminent financial collapse. That's the Secretary General, and specifically because the U.S. is like, we're not giving you all this money anymore. Trump, to be fair to the guy, has said we're spending a lot of money on shit at the UN that we don't want, doesn't benefit us, and we're not doing it. And they're making a big deal out of the fact some other countries are in the rears on their dues, but they have been for decades, some of them. The UN can't exist without the United States. That's what this says. And that means that the UN can either end up being disbanded, be a fraction of what it once was, or bend to U.S. will. That's what it means. Now, there's always a chance you plug some other retard back in here in 2028 and we just reverse course, because no matter what they say over the next couple of years about it, if you leave, you're gone forever, they'll be happy to welcome us back with our money. But the rest of the world can't run its economy sufficiently to maintain the United Nations without America paying the vast majority of the bills. It's an interesting thing. And it's not American exceptionalism. It's American-style markets. It's the closest thing to real capitalism the world has. Now, here's the thing. Another country could create true capitalism and clean our clocks. Nobody has any interest in it. It's not that we are pure capitalists, unfortunately. It's that we're the closest thing, thereby we win. Thereby we win. More wealth is created in this country than any other 10 countries combined. Especially by people that start with nothing. For all the talk about caste systems and class systems and wealth and privilege, there is no country, and there never has been a country, where more people start with dog shit and end up affluent to wealthy than the United States of America as it currently sits. If you are a leftist, I can't tell you what a destroyed temple that is. Because you've had enough time now. there's been enough people that tried socialism and what you call real socialism, whether it be your freaking utopia bullshit that went to hell in Venezuela or Cuba or Scandinavian socialism, whatever other words you come up with, Democrats, whatever. It hasn't worked. It hasn't worked. It just hasn't. It's failed everywhere it's been tried. If you compare it to any place where they didn't do it. And the less socialism you have, the more prosperous a country as a whole is. But there's poor people. There's poor people everywhere. There's full-on socialist countries and 80% of the population is poor. There's full-on socialist countries and 50% of the people are okay. It runs the gamut. But what you know is when you have incentives, people follow them. And one of the incentives they have not completely corrupted in the United States yet is if you truly build something, you can prosper greatly. There's a lot of perverse incentives in this country, but that one is not perverse. Basically, the entire shift right now, and this makes the left miserable, is toward Western Hemisphere dominance, led by the United States. There is no country even close to the power and influence of the United States. Nothing is close. There's only two countries with true massive influence left in the world, and it ain't Russia, and it ain't the United Kingdom. It's United States and China. Russia has a third of our population and 10% of our GDP. The UK exists as a power because of us, but the only country with undue influence other than the United States and China is Israel, because they have their hand up the fucking asses like puppets of many of our politicians, but they also exist because we make them exist. And this is not Orange Man doctrine. This isn't the Don Rowe doctrine, right? This is what they're calling it, right? The reissues. This is Trump might be the one doing it, but this is the direction of society as a whole. This is the direction of society as a whole. It might have got fought a little longer if Cackles was in charge, but it still would have swung. It wouldn't have stayed there. And this was always going to happen. A country this powerful, this big, this influential, at some point has to make a decision. Do we want to continue or do we want to commit suicide? And if this country wants to continue, it has to assert dominance within its own sphere of influence, and that means we have to stop sticking our assholes into everything else, everywhere else in the world. That means we need to stop defending Europe from a non-existent threat. The biggest threat to Europe right now is not Russia, it's Europe. The biggest threat to Germany is Berlin. The biggest threat to the UK is London. The biggest threat to Spain is Madrid. Okay? The biggest threat to France is Paris. And all of them are enabled through mass migration out of the third world into their continent. We can't have that here. I'm sorry. Europe has fallen so far, so fast. And there is a point where people start looking up, yeah, I'm not doing that. And we start looking over to Europe and seeing the people trying to fight back and realize it's probably too late for them. And then going, yeah, we're like 15 years behind that. Something has to be done. And that sentiment is shifting. That's also making the left absolutely fucking miserable. Again, the UN can't survive. None of these organizations, these, you know, magical fairyland organizations can ever survive without us. Do you notice how many things they said were going to go completely tits up because we shut down USAID? All these NGOs, all these non-government organizations are going to go tits up without USAID. Wait a minute. Where does USAID get its money? From the government. What kind of NGO needs the government to exist? Most of them, by the way. That's a quasi-government organization. That's what an NGO is. It's a way they can take your money and use it against you with less accountability. That's what an NGO is, as they use the term. It's also a great way to traffic children around the world, but that's not a thing we're going to bite into today. So, then what does the future look like? Is everything going to get better? I wish it was. But the future belongs to those who refuse to abandon common sense. These cycles always cycle through, and eventually it falls on people with common sense and work ethic to rebuild. It always has. This won't be any different. The people that will succeed in the coming years will be people that right now and up until now have been investing in productive equities and hard assets. In other words, people are like, well, I don't believe you still buy stocks. I buy stocks in companies that do things that people value and spend money with and make money. That's equity in a company. And I buy smart assets, real tangible assets like real estate, like Bitcoin, and like precious metals. That's not going to change. Now, I'm not going all in when silver is $115, and I'm not going all in on Bitcoin when it's $125,000 the first time. But I'm doing exactly what I said. Like, as Bitcoin goes down, I buy more every day. I buy every day, and when the price goes down, I increase the daily buy. Why? Because that's what I've always taught, and that's what's always worked. Right? So being smart with your money and holding assets versus cash or liabilities. Those who develop skills and adapt to new technology versus fear it. Have you noticed that all of the horror stories about AI is going to take your job haven't happened? Hasn't happened. Now, I've talked about AI taking jobs, but not all the jobs. You know what I said is, like, when you have one, you know, computer programmer who can do the work of 10, the company needs 9 less. And that kind of thing is happening. But people are moving into other aspects of society and other forms of jobs and employment and entrepreneurship. Because no technology ever causes the catastrophic permanent loss of jobs that's forecast. It's never happened. Now, entire segments of work have gone away. Here's an example. Fairly recent example. In the 1960s and 70s, the number one way that a woman could get employed outside of like being a nurse or a teacher was to go work in an office in something called, that many of you have never heard of this, but if you look it up, you realize I'm not having a hallucination. I haven't gotten early onset Alzheimer's. I'm making shit up. I'm not saying I had an onion tied to my belt, which was the style at the time. Some of you get that, right? I'm telling you the God's honest truth. It was called a typing pool. So we didn't have copying machines, and we didn't have computers with printers everywhere. And so the boss would dictate something, and that needed to be sent out as a letter, and then it needed to be filed in multiple copies. So the boss would dictate, and then the dictated shorthand would go to someone in the typing pool who would sit down with a typewriter, click, click, clack, click, 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 clack, click, click, clack, clack, right, with something called carbon paper, yeah, and they would type up the document. And if you made a mistake beyond what could be fixed with something called whiteout, the whole thing had to be redone. And then it was filed. And it was very important work because sometimes questions came up and things like audits happened and contractual disputes and you didn't really send that letter. Well, here's a copy of it and here's the people who were CC'd just like we do with email today, right? Then in the 1980s, something came along called a copy machine. Now, we called it a Xerox machine because that was the biggest brand, but it was just a copier. People started to get really nervous. Well, we still need some people to type, but we don't necessarily need the duplicates and triplicates and stuff. We just make copies. And if we need more copies than we thought we needed, we just push a button. And then computers started to show up. And then printers started showing up. And network printers showed up. And a person could type their own shit and hit print. It came out. You didn't need to go to the typing pool. There is no company in the world today with a typing pool. All those jobs are gone. But more women are employed in administrative positions than were at the time of the typing pool. Most of them spend the majority of their day typing. Let's go back further. Way, 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 way back when America was clearly a racist country with slavery. We had slavery all through the South, mostly of black people. That is all true. There were people that wanted to get rid of it. We call these people abolitionists. And some of them took the direct path, and some of them, like, I can't stop it, but maybe I can make it better. And a gentleman came along named, here's a name from your memory as a student in school. You might remember this name, Eli Whitney, right? Eli Whitney made the thing called the cotton gin. What the cotton gin did was speed up pulling all the seeds out of the cotton, getting it ready to be spun and turned into cloth or whatever. Yeah? Okay? And I don't know if they still teach this, but we learned this when I was in school all the way back in 1981. Eli Whitney actually wanted to be there to be less slavery. So he thought, if I invent this machine that reduces the amount of slave rate labor needed massively, it'll reduce the overall demand for slaves. But what happened was the production of cotton was so increased by the cotton gin, there was more demand for slaves in other capacity within the cotton industry. That's not a pro-slavery, that's a pro-industry observation. And you just keep going. Every place this happened, labor went somewhere else because there was something else to be done. Sometimes directly created, sometimes indirectly created, and sometimes when that many people are freed up, entire new sectors are created from nothing. The first sawmills came out. The sawmen went on strike and started burning down buildings where the sawmills were. You know what a sawman did? The kind I'm talking about? The ones that made board lumber in a pit. So you take the tree and, you know, you have a sawmill that cuts boards out of it. Well, they would have a rip saw for cutting long distance, and one dude would be in the pit and the other guy would be up on top of the log, two man saw, and they would saw this board lumber. And they took turns because being in the pit sucked. That's where all the sawdust fell on you. So you did one in the pit, then your buddy did one in the pit, right? Nobody wanted that job. But when the sawmills came, it was going to put all the sawmen out of a business. And therefore, we would have massive unemployment. By the way, that was like the 1600s. There's more workers in the lumber industry today, despite all the automation. In the end, we don't run out of jobs until we run out of problems. And if we run out of problems, we don't have a problem. So it's going to be about the people that adapt to new technology. You want, you know, you better learn to, I've said this for 3 years now, you better learn to use AI because it's being used against you every day. I point out 5 or 6 times a day on social media, this post was written by AI. I don't even read it. I look at the structure. I go, that's AI. But you use AI all the time, but you taught it to write. Yeah, I did teach it to write better, but I'm also collaborating with AI. I'm not leaning on it. But the reason I'm pointing it out is because the person that thinks they're helping isn't, because of how many people look at that and go, AI slop, and write it off immediately. You need to learn how to do these things from low-tech hard skills to high-tech hard skills if you want to adapt to what's coming. And as always, who will own tomorrow? Entrepreneurs. Entrepreneurs see problems as opportunities. Employees see problems as problems somebody should solve. When you're an entrepreneur and you identify a problem, it's a little exciting. When you start analyzing the problem and start seeing a solution to the problem, it's extremely exciting. Because I can't sell into a space unless the thing I'm selling is needed, desired, wanted in some way. I can't, right? I either have to create like a lifestyle brand, like, you know, the name on your ass of your pants or something where people crave it because I've so marketed as proving that you're special or your ass isn't really fat, even though it looks fat, or you're rich or whatever it is. Lululemon or any of these retarded brands, like there's that, or there is, this is actually like, because Lululemon does not solve a problem. And that's just one that's coming to my mind. Like, when we were in Vegas, we walked through a mall out there that's like all these, most of these designer stores I've never heard of, ridiculously expensive. None of these companies are solving a problem other than rich women who think they shop for a living being bored. That's the only problem they solve. And generally, it's the man's money they're spending. Be mad at me, but it's true. Just go to one of these places and look at the people shopping. They do not have jobs. They do not have jobs, and they are not retired. All right? The old man is killing himself, and they're out buying Lululemon and other stupid shit. Right? That doesn't solve a problem. But if I come up with something that enables you to take better care of your lawn in a healthier way with less effort or cost from you, now you're buying something because you feel you need it. Right? If I can come up with a way to extend the mileage on your car, if I can build a better car, if I can build a better computer, if I can build a better communications device, if I can build a better form of entertainment, all of these things, people lack something, and you can fill that, you can profit from it. And again, I'm back to, if we have problems, we have jobs, and if we have problems, we have opportunities. That's who's going to make that work. And then those who take on and teach responsibility for their own households. And I mean across the board here. I mean, like, manage your money right. I mean, growing some of your own food. I mean, being prepared. I mean, the people who during this last big cold front, their power went out for a couple of days and they went, yeah, okay. Those are people that control tomorrow. I mean, this is why the core of the Survival Podcast has always been preparedness. Because when you put those things together in your life that way, with redundancy, you tend to build your entire life with redundancy, and you tend to win at life that way. The person who designs their life tends to have a better lifestyle than the person who lets society design it for them. And I want to tell you, fourth turnings usually involve war. And I think we have a lot of people that have switched on to the fourth turning and the concepts of four turnings. And they're sitting here looking at this right now and going, we're kind of overdue for the turning. You know, the last major fourth turning was the crisis in around the stock market crash, the Great Depression of World War II. And that ended with the next high, which was the 1950s and rebuilding America in the 50s and 60s. And, you know, your fourth turning was due to happen around 2015 to 2025. And here we are at 2026 and there's no global war. And guys, we had a global scamdemic, a complete shutdown, an artificial Great Depression that was made more tolerable by technology and fiat money. We've had a war. I said this before. We had a war that went on for over two decades, the global war on terror. Like, just because it didn't affect you the way World War II affected people with rationing back in 1944 doesn't mean it wasn't going on and it wasn't a war. The people that were dealing with the war, either fighting it or having it fought in their backyard, certainly knew it was a war. We've still got an ongoing conflict between Russia and Ukraine that looks like fucking World War I with drones. Okay? There's conflict all over the world. So if you're just waiting for a war, there's plenty of war. But maybe the war is different this time. Maybe the war is simply normal people against willfully retarded people. Notice I said willfully retarded people. Willfully means you've chosen it for yourself, and retarded means kind of slow and dumb and stupid and making really foolish decisions. As I use the word, it's for special needs. But shut up. I don't care about those. I don't care about any of you anymore that get upset by that word. I've never used that word in my life to actually speak to someone who is legitimately mentally challenged due to something beyond their control. And you probably haven't either. It doesn't matter. When I grew up, everybody was retarded. You know, here, you want to know why Gen X doesn't care and is so resilient? You know who called us retarded when we were kids? Our parents, the mom and dad called you retarded, your coach, your teacher, your friends, your siblings, your cousins, your uncles, your great uncles. Everybody. Everybody told us we were retarded, and we're like, okay, I'm retarded. And we went on with our lives, and we didn't die. Yeah, we didn't die. We survived somehow being called retarded. So we don't care. So when I say retarded, I mean someone who is very foolish, in spite of the fact that they don't have to be. And when I say willfully, I mean they have chosen that path. And when I look at society as a whole today, I my clearest line separating society, it's not race, it's not religion, it's not even directly political, because there are some people that they might not be Democrats now, but they feel very angry about that. They were common sense 1985, 1990 Democrats, or they're younger people that's what they would have been if they had the opportunity. And they look at this and they don't know what, but the line I actually see is the willfully retarded and normal people. When you look at what they want, it doesn't make any sense. What benefit is there to society as a whole, to Americans? How is our life going to be better? How is the life of our daughters going to be better with all this transtardism? How? No one can answer that. Well, there's not that many of them. Then why should society bend to their needs? Right? Well, it's not fair. I agree. It's not fair to a girl who loses a scholarship or an award that she worked her whole life for because a man was let into her space. That's not fair. I agree with you. It's not fair. We just have different definitions of where the fair problem is. What is the benefit to this country of keeping people in this country who could easily be sent back to their own country, who have in fact committed very serious crimes against this country? Where is the benefit to this country in importing people who are then given welfare? Don't tell me about the person that works at the taco truck or whatever. I'm not interested in that. We have a huge, most of the immigrants, not migrants, immigrants that have come to this country in the last 5 years are on some form of welfare. What is the benefit to us in that? See, a normal, rational person doesn't see a benefit and says, maybe we shouldn't do it. A willfully retarded person, led by their emotion and their feelings and their desire to please everybody and to be pleased and to feel good about themselves versus analyze critically tough decisions, they don't care. They will cling to their willful retardism. I think that the most frustrating thing when you talk to true lunatic liberals is that you have to spend at least half the time explaining things that they understand, that they pretend not to understand, so that they don't have to have an actual debate. I don't think they're actually as dumb as they appear. I think they're actually, in a way, using a mental self-defense, like a psychic shielding. This is going somewhere I don't like. It's making me give up the thing that my feels is attached to, so I'll feign ignorance and stupidity, i.e. I will be willfully retarded. And so the real victory in the future is going to be the people who go, I'm not doing that. And if you want to do that, good luck. Good luck with it. Anyway, guys, hope you enjoyed today's show. I am back and on the attack, and we're back to regular stuff. And something we need to talk about is coming. And I would probably do the show tomorrow, even though I did a rewind about it. But it is probably time for another primer on seed starting and plant starting, because spring is going to spring really, really fast. Now, the giant rat with the buck teeth, known as the groundhog, Punxsutawney Phil, he crawled out of his hole today, and he, you know, I guess he saw his shadow or didn't see it. I don't know which one it is, because I don't ever put anything. But Punxsutawney apparently told the dude in the suit and the top hat that it's going to be a long winter this year. Like, we're not going to get an early winter. I'm not so sure I believe that. That giant rat has only been right 40% of the time. 40% of the time. The weather guessers generally right about 65% of the time. I look at it this way. The country's a big place, and we might have an early spring here in the South, and you guys in the Northeast might have a late one. I don't know. I do know that one way or another, we're heading fast to need to start seeds, and a lot of that has to happen indoors. And so you want to get your seed starting system set up, your plant starting system set up. And some of the best lights you can use for that are made by a company called Barina, B-A-R-R-I-N-A, Barina. And my item of the day are 6 packs of their grow lights. And they have them on sale today. You can get 6 2-foot Barinas for $59.49. That's $10 a light, roughly. or 6 4-foot for $99.99, or about $15 a light. Are they the best LED lights on the market? No, but they're really good, and they're more than good enough for the purpose. If you go back 15 years, one light of this technical specification was about $100. And that's why if you go back 15 years or more, everybody was still using shop lights and T5s and stuff like that. But that was about the point, about 2015, 2016, where enough economy of scale happened, specifically in the cannabis indoor space, that these lights started to get mass produced. And as each level kind of like moved up to the next top level, your lower levels, which are very good, just got cheaper and cheaper. And now you can't buy the bulbs for a shop light for the price of one of these lights anymore. And they're infinitely better. At this price, I don't see how anybody who starts some of their own plants doesn't get their money back. Right now, like a tomato, well, they're not in the stores yet, but in a few weeks, you'll start seeing tomatoes, peppers, et cetera, at Home Depot and Lowe's and Walmart and all. And they'll be $4 to $7 a plant. You know, one little six pack of plants is, you know, let's call it $24 at the low end. One shelf set up with two 10-20 trays with six packs, you grow 144 plants. If you want to use a bit bigger pots, you can still grow, let's say, 72 plants. 72 plants, you know, you're what, at $5 a piece, you're looking at, what, $310? And the main thing you need is the lights. And these lights last. I'm still using Barina Grow lights that I bought 6 years ago. They still work perfectly fine. So definitely consider getting set up for this one way or another, and getting ready for spring planting. I want to put it to you a way that maybe will light a little bit of a fire up under your butt. Most of these plants are going to take you in the neighborhood of 6 to 8 weeks from the time you put a seed in the pot until they're ready to put out. Okay, does that make sense? Like, so you need to, the day you're going to put that plant out in the garden, 8 weeks before it, that's when the seed needs to go into the little pot. Yeah. Do you know what 8 weeks from this day today is? March 30th. It'll be 2 days from April. In general, I'm putting my plants in the ground about that time, and the latest that I'm putting them in is around the second, like April 14th. It's time. I know it always sneaks up on you every year, but this is one of the key ingredients you want, is good quality grow lights. And at the price they're at now, there's no excuse to use second tier garbage. Use the good stuff. Anyway, with that, I appreciate everybody tuning in today. I really didn't see questions coming in much. I tried to keep an eye on things. I do want to let you guys know that tomorrow is First Tuesday. You know what that means? Cole Schatz, John Willis. I'm sure we'll talk about getting ready for spring gardening, a lot of other homestead stuff, and I'm sure we'll talk about some of the stuff that we talked about today. It'll be interesting to hear what John's thoughts are on Alex Pretty and what Nicole's thoughts are. I bet you there's going to be some variance in all three of us. Tune in for that if you didn't get enough today, and a whole bunch more. Remember, First Tuesday coffee chats don't go at noon like shows like this usually do. Rather, they kick off at 09:30 Central Standard Time. 09:30 is 9:30 in the morning for you civilian types. Take care.
You should have a house the American way. A dollar down, a dollar a month, and you never have to pay. There's a better way to do this. Let me show you a better way.